Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air. Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Come on, kids. Let's go.
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Hey, I already started the show. Stephanie hasn't even sat down yet. Welcome to the Kelly Mano Radio Show podcast once a week. Heard right here at kellymano.com and on iTunes. I am here with, what's your name?
I forget what
my co-host Hoss, producer Stephanie. So I'm wearing a hat and I forgot that the microphone doesn't tilt. And so I can't get my face close. Because of this hat.
You could take the hat off.
You could turn it backwards.
I know, but do you know how bad my hair looks today? There's a reason that there's a hat on my head. All right, those seem really, really loud.
Yeah, really loud.
Am I loud?
You're loud to me.
Okay, turn Steph down in the cans, in her big old cans. So I haven't seen you guys in forever.
I know.
Yeah, like what?
Like yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you follow me on Facebook, which is at Kelly Mano, you know that we went to music trivia over the weekend, and this has become kind of like an annual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it okay, Hoss, explain it.
Well, we've actually been doing it for we've won three of the last four,
mm-hmm.
and then we took 1 year off because they got angry at us.
Well, I think they were angry at us on
Friday
night because they were throwing stuff at us. Yeah, Stephanie got hit in the head.
I got hit hard in the head, not just like paper ball, like something hard.
I was looking for
head.
Who did it. They chumps.
Yeah. Yeah. They're angry at us every year, but it's a foundation called the Little Bit Foundation, which mm-hmm. gives basically school supplies, coats, whatever you can think of that a kid may need in order to go to school and be able to be successful and things like that. Well, every year, their big fundraiser to kick off the year is a music trivia night. And it's usually someplace like we've gone to CBC. It's at a very high-end private
and
high school.
I'll tell you, the first time that I came to it,
Whitfield.
I show up with my brownies or my cookies that I bake.
Oh, yeah.
And my yoga pants and my sweatshirts. And I start looking around and all these women are in stilettos.
Yep.
And fur and leather and jewelry. And
sushi,
I'm like,
trays, cheese plates.
I'm like, are
like
we?
A freaking cocktail party.
I thought we were at the wrong place. Mm. And then I see where our table is. And of course, we're like all the way in the back because they're embarrassed by our white trash table.
Yes.
But then we proceed to mop the floor with them.
We just murder people.
And, you know, we did it again on Friday night.
Yep.
Not only did we win first place at 810 people, so over 80 tables.
We beat 800 people.
Yeah, we beat 800 people, and we beat them by a lot. I mean, it was.
Yeah. I think we won by 9 points.
Yes, and so I will explain our trivia table like this. So if our trivia table were a baseball bullpen, Hoss and the core guys of his little group there, they are the Adam Wainwright.
Yep.
They're the starting pitchers and they can carry us through most of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you've got people like my friend Gary and my husband Jimmy, who, I mean, they are your Trevor Rosenthals because they come in and make a good save mm-hmm. because they know a lot of stuff too.
Yeah. Gary's a great specialist.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, Stephanie and I are like the overweight left-handed specialist that they call out to get one guy out.
Yeah.
But
that's
one point that we need.
That's true.
And honestly, I think that there were, because I tried to count, I think there were two or three questions on Friday night that we knew that other people didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the other 145, they already knew.
Yeah, we did our handful of them, and I was like, okay, I contributed. I feel okay about, you know, my place on the table now. So.
My favorite part of the night was, and it always comes down to every music trivia night, you win or you lose in Finish the Lyrics.
Yes.
It's always the category that mm-hmm. makes
which
you break
is my masterpiece.
Yep.
So I think it was the eighth or ninth song. They hit play on the song, and it's Britney Spears.
Yeah.
You and I looked at each other like,
this is
we're
so
good,
easy.
We're good. We had too much fun, like,
dancing
goofing
along.
Around
yeah.
that the music stops, and we both went,
oh, my God.
Yeah, we were like,
Was that when I yelled at Jimmy to shut up?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like there's songs that you know like the back of your hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was literally trying to listen and Jimmy's having a conversation with me and I'm like, shut up! Like, yeah. I can't hear. Because he almost did it to me on Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama. Mm-hmm. I was like, stop! I have to listen to this. And then that's exactly what happened. Brittany came on and Haas starts like stretching like, oh, I got this. He's like popping his neck.
Yeah.
And then we start goofing off and we're like,
oh, crap.
We don't know what it is.
We're like, writing lyrics on the table.
Like, and it was like old Britney too, and was stuff that we maybe
yes.
didn't listen to.
It was
a while
oops,
later.
I did it again.
I was doing the choreography from the video
yeah.
and then got stumped on the lyrics. It was, you see my problem is this. Yeah that was the like, whole. Well, then, so the buttholes at the table next to us were cheating.
Yeah. And they not, had Google on their team.
They were not even trying to hide it. Like, one of the songs was Fat Bottom Girls, and I look over, and their phone is open, and it says Fat Bottom Girls lyrics. And their table was right in front of the judges, and the judges did not
that.
Have the balls to approach them.
I know.
Well, Gary went up
Gary
to him.
On him. I know.
Yeah. Well, that table ended up in fifth place at the end of the night, which is total crap. And I called him out on it. And then they got pissy with me because they're like, well, we only have four people at the table.
I don't care.
That's not my problem that you don't have enough
friends.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean Google gets invited to your table.
No, exactly. And so it was funny because throughout the night, one of the guys at that table won the 50-50. And they're like, winner of the 50-50. And he goes up. And then like 2 minutes later, they're like, Andy gave it back and everybody starts clapping. And then a little bit later they played heads or tails and then the guy won all this money. And then a few minutes later, they're like, Andy gave it back. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the night, they're like, first place table number 59. And we're like, woo. And then it's like
the door.
Awkward silence.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, this is also the second year in a row that the same dude wrote a check for $10,000 to the foundation.
Mm. At least this
Could
year.
Could you imagine just being able to be like, yeah, I'll write you a $10,000 check.
Was it last year that they brought a puppy around? Or was that a different one?
That was a different one.
Yeah, there was one where they brought around like a
look at the cute puppy, give us money.
Yeah. Well, no, it was you could buy the puppy.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And it was like a purebred something or other. And, you know, someone stroked a check for like $3,000 and bought the puppy.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So it was a fun night at trivia. It was long.
It's always long.
That is
long.
My only complaint. And it was a big complaint. That was four and a half hour trivia. And a trivia should never go 4.5 hours. Shouldn't even go four. If your trivia is over 3 hours long, then your host just likes to hear themselves talk.
Yep.
And that is the last person that you want hosting trivia.
Yep.
So I was really disappointed in how long it went. But everything else was good. Questions were good, except for...
They were a little obscure.
Haas, can you impersonate the question? Like, every question was like a word question from math class in fourth grade.
So this is an example of one of the questions. In 1978, this band had a song that was a number one hit on four charts. What color is Mary Tyler Moore's hat?
Like, literally.
Yeah.
Like,
that was the only way they got it to fit into the category that it was in. It was by some, like, weird...
random thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't you just ask, what color is Mary Tyler Moore's hat? Yeah. Why do we have to go through this huge, huge definition? And so, anyway. So, yeah, we're awesome. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
Speaking of baseball and spring training... I think I'm getting old and cynical.
Okay.
Because I saw...
Welcome to the club.
I saw a story over the weekend that made me roll my eyes at first. And it was like, Adam Wainwright buys rental car for Cardinals rookie who's walking back and forth to spring training every day.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And I was like, huh? First of all, can't you just ask for a ride? And second of all, you're in Florida, so I'd be cool with walking in Florida.
Like, get a bike.
Get a bike. Get a and so I really
is there bus line.
First of all, Adam Wainwright is like one of my favorite athletes ever, and he's even a better guy in person. So it's not on him. I completely missed the warm and fuzzy of that because, I mean, if he's a Cardinal prospect, chances are good that his career is going somewhere decent.
Yeah,
and it's not like I don't know, the way that they made it sound like he walked back and forth to practice every day.
Like it was, like it was such a challenge. I'm like, this is an elite athlete, right?
Right.
But,
and
it's a baseball player. Let's not say elite athlete.
It's an athlete.
Not only that, but they made it sound like, you see these stories of these like poor kids who walk back and forth to work to like help their mom's medical bills. And this kid is on his way to playing in the MLB.
It sounded like the only thing missing from it was like a Sarah McLachlan song in the background.
Yeah, well, I noticed.
For 25 cents a day. You you could
sponsor you can help a rookie get a car for spring training
for the price of a cup of coffee.
Exactly. Well, I noticed that Wainwright didn't really comment on it too much. Like, I saw a lot of the story, but I didn't see him comment. So I think he was probably like, dude, it's
just a rental car.
It's just a Toyota Corolla. It's not like
I didn't buy you a Range Rover. I rented you a Chevy Malibu.
I don't know how. The warm and fuzzy on that went right over my head, and the cynical side of me was instantly like, why are they trying to make this a story?
Yeah.
So before we go to break, I want to wish my Uncle Ricky good luck. He's having a major surgery tomorrow in Iowa. And so he is a big listener of the show. You met him over Christmas or Thanksgiving. Absolutely. He's the one that went on the Hawaiian vacation.
Mahalo.
Yeah, mahalo. So he is having a pretty big surgery tomorrow. So we want to wish Uncle Ricky good luck. We love him so much, and we'll be checking in with you. And when we come back, you are going to find out something about your zodiac sign that I don't think you knew.
I know nothing about it. I know what mine is, but I know nothing about it.
And later, we're going to have an MMA professional boxer and fighter here. I thought about making him like thumb wrestle Hoss, but
awesome. We should have Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I know, right? I'm just generally fascinated by somebody who gets punched in the face for a living.
Right.
So I have so many questions. So keep listening. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Kelly Mano Show.
Ever look in the mirror and not recognize the person looking back at you? Wish you could go back in time and reverse the signs of aging? Then you need to schedule a free consultation at Aurora Medical Spa. Now with two locations in DePere and the Chesterfield Valley, Aurora Medical Spa is St. Louis's premier medical spa. Ranked the number one Botox provider in the St. Louis area, offering the most advanced and effective skin procedures. Other services include laser hair removal, tattoo removal, skin resurfacing, microdermabrasion, and much, much more. Consultations are always free. You have nothing to lose, except a few wrinkles. Visit their website to see amazing before and after transformations at auroramedicalspa.com. Mention the Kelly Mano Show and get $20 off your first visit. That's www.auroramedicalspa.com. Aurora Medical Spa. We take skin seriously.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by the Hit Squad and O'Fallon. I just mentioned a little bit ago that we are going to have Kevin Engle in. He is the professional boxer, MMA fighter that owns the place. He's also the lead instructor, which I didn't know. I was in class the other night in my little boxing class, and they pair you up with people of like your equal strength. So I was with a 14-year-old girl. And
about where I start out.
And I didn't realize that Kevin actually like teaches the class. So he's coming over and he's teaching me how to like, you know, turn over my punches and do this. And it's just so cool that you get to learn from somebody who's actually been through this. I know that going to an MMA place can sound intimidating, but it is such a family friendly environment. They have free daycare for their 6 o'clock co-ed classes. It is so much fun. There is no sweat like a boxing sweat. Like, I've been doing all kinds of working out lately, and there's just nothing that compares to how disgusting I am when I'm done with my classes at the Hit Squad. Everyone gets a free week trial. Everyone gets a free week trial. Everybody gets a 7-day trial, and that is how I started. Like, before they were a sponsor, I just walked in and said, I want to try this. My kids want to try this. And then I just kind of fell in love with this. So if you are interested, go to hitsquadofallon.com or call 636-272-5454 and listen a little bit later as the owners, Kevin and Kim, are going to be in hanging out with us. So I don't know if it's kosher or not to promote other podcasts on your own podcast, but have you guys been listening to the podcast Missing Richard Simmons?
Yes.
No.
It is amazing.
It's awesome.
So I am a big fan of storytelling podcasts in a way that the story extends every episode. Those of you who ever listened to Serial.
Serial's my favorite.
This is like another Serial.
Yeah.
And our friend Donna, who's been on the show, turned me on to it. So we all know that Richard Simmons like disappeared, like straight did the dip. Like he ghosted people before ghosting was a thing.
Oh, yeah. 2 years ago or something.
And so one of his friends is on like the investigation. Like they're knocking on his door. They're talking to his housekeeper. They're interviewing people. So even if you don't really like Richard Simmons, it's a great podcast. Yep. And there's only 6 episodes and we're like 3 in.
Yeah.
And
so there's only 2 right now. I think the third
one's coming. There's
3. Oh, is there 3?
Yeah. They drop it every Wednesday. So I do cardio at the gym every Wednesday because I can. Oh, it just makes it go by so fast.
Yeah.
You got to listen to it, Haas.
All right.
You will find yourself completely like obsessed with what's going on in Richard Simmons' life.
Yeah. Even if you don't like Richard Simmons, you know, everybody knows who that is.
Of course.
So, yeah. You know, it's interesting to see, like, you know, he was such a prolific figure and then all of a sudden, like, just gone.
He was just so happy. Like,
yep.
One of the big things that they talk about is how they interviewed some people at TMZ and they said that his house was their favorite house to take the Hollywood stars tour bus by because he always knew when they were coming and he would always be like doing something silly or waving out the window or, you know, sometimes he would jump on the bus. Like, he loved people.
Yep.
And he's just gone.
Yep.
It makes you wonder how much of it is legit happiness and how much of it is the act.
Oh,
well, they kind of touch on that too, though, how he was saying like, well, I don't really socialize. You know, I go and he teaches a class at one of his gyms, you know, and he does these silly little things. But like, he was saying like, he doesn't really have a circle of friends.
Nope.
You know, he doesn't have people. He doesn't socialize. You know, he does all this stuff and then he goes home.
Yeah.
And he's by himself or with his live-in housekeeper.
And they also talked about how, because he still continued to teach his aerobics class once a week, even when he got famous, how he cried every class.
Yeah.
Like, they always knew that, like, a breakdown was coming and stuff like that. And, yeah, no, I believe, yeah, something, you know what I thought? What if he gained a lot of weight back?
I mean, that wouldn't explain why it was so sudden. Like, it was just all of a sudden he was teaching 1 week and then he wasn't.
But what if he, you know, because for anyone who's been, like, overweight like really bad and you lost it, like if you start to go downhill, it can happen fast. It can happen from I'm just gonna have this one cookie to like you're all in the next day. And so I know he had a knee injury and nobody's brought that part up yet. I wonder if he did not gain, maybe he kind of went into a depression and over like the course like a month or two he started gaining weight back and feeling bad about himself, and maybe he's like back to being obese now. That's the only thing I can think of.
I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see how this all plays out. And it's interesting to me because they're still like, they're appealing to him on every show. Oh, you know, they're like, you know.
It's happening in real time.
Yeah. This is like ongoing right now. So they're, you know, doing this investigation right now and posting like, you know, if Richard wants to, you know.
If you're listening.
If you're listening, call me.
Yeah.
You know, like this guy was a friend of theirs. You know, he went over and he'd had dinner at his house and everything. So he's like, Richard, call me. Everybody just wants to know that you're okay and everything's all right. You know, please call me.
Since he had been to Richard's house before, he's like, that's it. I'm just going to go up and ring the doorbell. So he goes to Richard Simmons' house where he's been several times and he goes up to the gate. No doorbell. They disconnected it. And then they built a second gate around the first gate. So there's physically no way to
get in,
knock on a door, ring a doorbell.
That sounds like a mental breakdown.
Well, and the thing is, this housekeeper is what we're starting to learn is, I think, the one who has kind of control over him. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we're going to find out in episode 4. But yeah, if you have not started listening to Missing Richard Simmons, you got to check it out because you will be obsessed.
Did you guys ever read about the whole craziness that was Casey Kasem towards the end of his life?
Yes. Now, he suffered elder abuse, right?
Yes.
And so this, one of Richard's, you know, Richard's never talked publicly about his sexuality, but one of his longtime friend, partner, masseuse guy, he was the one who called the cops a year ago and said that he thought there was elder abuse going on. The cops went there, checked it out, and said Richard was fine and left. And that's all they can say because it's a private matter.
Meaning that the housekeeper was
abusing him. Meaning that Richard Simmons was not being abused.
He was the person was accusing the housekeeper, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, not necessarily accusing. They were just speculating that
they were saying, "Go check this out."
The housekeeper might have something to do with his disappearance and why he was not being out in the public anymore.
The police showed up and they said everything's fine. He's not being abused. But that's the end of it. They can't give you any more information. And literally nobody has seen him in public in 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I don't care how big your house is.
Yeah. Even outside his house, like he's not seen, you know, going to pick up the paper or anything. Like, shut up in there.
Yeah. A lot of people thought maybe he was transitioning to a female. But that doesn't take 2 years.
He's in the basement.
Yeah. I mean, but how long can you be like that and not just end it, you know?
No, I mean, I think he's in the basement decomposing.
Oh, well, he called in live to the, that's another thing is that somebody is running his social media that's not him.
Yep.
Like all of his close friends are like, no, that's not how Richard talked. That's not Richard, you know.
Why, is he still tweeting?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and like recycling tweets and pictures
like
and things.
Like on New Year's, they posted like a Happy New Year video, but it was from like 4 years ago, but they don't say that.
Yeah.
But his close friends and family have it all figured out. Yep. So anyway,
go check it out. It's great.
Go check it out. So I read something over the weekend. So this show doesn't get, look at that picture.
Oh, oh my goodness.
It's a horrible picture. But do you guys believe in like,
Haas.
do you guys believe in like zodiac horoscope kind of stuff?
I mean, I put stock in it, I guess. I don't know, like we were saying off the air, I don't know anything about mine. Yeah. Except that every time I mention it to a girl, they're like, oh.
Well,
and I know that I'm supposed to have a really bad temper and I'm supposed to be extraordinarily freaky in bed.
Well, it's funny because I am on the cusp. And so, like, they keep changing my sign because I'm December 21st.
Oh.
So they go back and forth between Sagittarius and Capricorn. But I've always been a Sagittarius, so I'm not really, you know, changing that now. So they release this article about the craziest things that you're willing to do in bed based on your zodiac sign.
Oh, man.
And I thought these were actually kind of interesting. Because they get pretty specific with it. So let's start with Haas.
Okay.
What are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
Scorpio. Okay. Scorpios can be the best sex in the zodiac if the particular Scorpio you're with has learned to turn down their ego far enough that it's not a complete turnoff. They are the perfect combination of sensual and aggressive in a push you against the wall, have their way with you. But what's off the table of Scorpios is trying to be the dominant one. Stephanie, what are you?
Oh, man, I'm a Cancer.
Cancer.
That's not nice to say about yourself.
I have not read mine yet.
It's like it's the nurturer sign. Like I want to take care of everyone.
Yeah.
Wait, so was mine saying that I'm not the dominant one?
No, yours was saying that... it says what's off
trying
the
to
table
dominate
trying
one.
To
so
dominate
you,
one.
So you want to be the dominant
oh,
one.
Oh, okay. Yep. Got it.
Yeah, and you have a big ego.
That's not true.
Stephanie, you are a Cancer.
Yep.
Oh, yep. You're more loving and caring than any other sign.
How about that?
Aw. There's not much a Cancer won't do for the right partner, but they'll never be the one to suggest it because they're focused on making their partner happy.
Hashtag butt stuff.
So they'll genuinely be aroused with what arouses you. They have to have an emotional connection first. So there's the Cancers out there. I am Sagittarius, which always sounds like a weird vegetable to me.
Yeah.
Sagittarians are all
short.
Why is mine a paragraph?
I know. Yours is so short. You're just like two lines, three lines.
Says, Sagittarians are almost always into butt stuff.
Yeah, hashtag butt stuff.
It will inevitably start off as a joke, but somewhere along the lines, it will become a genuine interest. That is wrong.
I don't know, Kelly.
I did not read my own before I read this on the air.
All right, what's Jimmy?
Awesome.
Jimmy is a Pisces, I think. And so also, listener Alexis is a Pisces because I was asking some other people. Pisces are the best kissers the whole zodiac. And then, okay, I want to read Capricorn because since I'm on the cusp, it says Capricorns are the prudes of the zodiac. So I am one day off.
You're either butt stuff or don't touch me.
I'm either butt stuff or don't touch me.
That is a sharp cliff.
Maybe I am a Capricorn because I'm definitely not a butt stuff girl. Their competitiveness will kick in and, okay, maybe I'm a Capricorn.
You're a Sagittarius on the street and Capricorn in bed.
There you go.
No, a Capricorn on the street. And, wait, no, yeah, yeah, you're yeah, right. yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right. I asked a couple other people. My good friend Melissa Lane and listener Angie are Geminis. So I'm going to read theirs. And we're going to put this whole list up at kellymano.com.
I was a Gemini when the Zodiac changed. Do you remember that minute that the Zodiac was all different? Yeah. I was a Gemini for a minute. It's at the very top.
Oh, thanks. Gemini. Oh, man. What won't a Gemini do?
All right.
Geminis are passionate, playful lovers who like to explore new things. They're upbeat and positive. They only draw the line at aggressive BDSM. Is that like S&M?
Yeah.
Okay. And then let me see. Oh, there was one other. Oh, do you want to know who the best partner you'll ever have is?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is a Leo. Leos are...
Is that regardless of your sign?
It says Leos will absolutely, without a doubt, make the best sex partner you've ever had. It says sexed partner.
Sexed.
So maybe that's... they love showing themselves off and getting steamy. So if you want naked pics...
Dick pics.
Hit up a Leo. They are July 23rd to August 22nd. And producer Stephanie, will you...
slide all up in your DMs.
Will you put... will you put the whole list up on kellymano.com?
Yep.
And I'm sorry for the really weird picture that pops up at the top of the article. It's very odd.
I mean...
Just don't post.
If you're into butt stuff, you know.
If you're into, I don't even know what she's doing. It's like, it looks like you're changing her diaper.
Yeah, that's odd.
Like, that's not hot. That's not cute.
It looks like she was trying to take her pants off and fell backwards onto the bed.
And then she wanted somebody to wipe her bottom.
Yeah, maybe drunk. Like, I'm stuck.
God. Okay. Stuck. So I'm sorry for the picture, but go to kellymano.com and you can find out what your zodiac sign says about your romantic life.
Sweet.
We got to go here in a second because we've got Kevin coming in. But do we want to talk about the Blues a little bit? Because this is a big week for them.
Yeah. I mean,
if
anyone's ever seen a dumpster fire before, that's pretty much what we're dealing with.
Oh, God. Why is it, you know, we haven't had a show since the Shattenkirk trade. Every time a player gets traded, they are just thriving. It is like we are the drowning organization.
Yeah.
And the people who get out are flourishing.
You know what intrigued me most about that deal?
That one.
And I don't know if you listened to this, but did you listen to all the dirty laundry that Armstrong let air the day after the trade?
No.
They offered Shattenkirk an 8-year deal at the draft last year. And he turned it down and said, I don't want to resign here.
Wow.
So they went into the season. They went into the season knowing that he was not going to stay.
You know, it doesn't surprise. I know other players who were ready to walk because of Hitchcock.
Well, this wasn't because of Hitchcock. What Armstrong said was that because of Petro and because of the emergence of Parayko, he felt like he was limited in his role in this team. The fact of the matter is Kevin Shattenkirk is a one-dimensional offensive-defensive player.
Yeah.
He's not a defensive defenseman.
He was always pretty consistent for us.
Yep, he was great on the power play.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But when you needed to close out a game, Kevin Shattenkirk was not on the ice.
Yeah, and you know what? He went to the Capitals, which is my second favorite team.
And again, that's a team that wants to win by beating you 14-12.
Yep.
They don't care about winning games 2-1. So Kevin Shattenkirk will fit on that.
Yeah.
And
we're what, one spot out of the wild card,
but we are sinking.
Well, so if we don't make the playoffs, what do we as Blues fans do? I mean, can we go throw rocks at Armstrong's car?
Well,
like, where do you limit it?
I think if this team doesn't make the playoffs, it's an unmitigated disaster for your 50th anniversary year, and Armstrong will pay the price. Armstrong will be gone.
Good, because I don't think other players, I mean, we've got other players with contract years coming up next year that we want to keep, and I don't want more Shattenkirk where they want to go.
Well, but I don't think he wanted to go because he didn't like the team. I think he wanted, it was a dual thing for him. A, he knew that the Blues weren't going to have the money that he could get on the open market. Two, he knew there was going to be an opportunity to go home
and
play in New York eventually, which I still think he will at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And three, he wants to be a first-pair defenseman. And if he's going to do that, he's got to get better defensively.
Yeah, well.
But if this team doesn't make the playoffs, I think Armstrong's gone.
Yep.
I think you see people like Jori Lehterä gone.
Mm-hmm.
The new rumor that popped up this week is that Alex Steen may be gone.
No!
For a lot of reasons. Apparently he's, and this is all speculation, I don't have a source, not necessarily the most popular guy in the room.
That surprises me.
I think that you see, I said Laterra's gone.
Well, I wonder if Steiner's not fed up too, because look at how fed up we are just watching them.
Yeah.
And then you got to be on that team and watch your friends and these great players you've invested in go and watch your general manager make shit decisions.
Well,
I don't know if I would be a very fun person to be around in the locker room either.
The Shattenkirk decision doesn't bother me. I mean, honestly, I think what we got for him was brilliant, because what also came out was once he turned down that 8-year deal.
Yeah.
They tried to trade him last year at the draft.
Yeah.
And all they could get offered back for him was a second round pick. So we essentially got more for him last week than we were offered before the season. And that's not to bring into to conversation the two big names that we had ready
that
to come here
gotten.
That Shattenkirk shut down.
All right.
Of course we'd rather
have
them.
We all know that the playoffs in the NHL are all about getting hot at the right time, so I'm not
it
giving up yet.
Better start tonight.
But they need to start like yesterday.
We
will be right back. I'm so excited to interview Kevin the Hitman Angle. Should I introduce him like, Kevin the Hitman? Like, how do the Ringer people do it?
Oh, you need to find a Michael Buffer soundbite.
Maybe I should just stick to my normal voice.
Yeah,
or that.
Okay, we'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Rachel Witt at RE/MAX. Hoss, are you moving yet?
Not yet. I need to get a little less upside down.
Well, I know, but I thought you and your parents were going to do like the Three's Company thing. Come and knock on our door.
I could. My bigger problem right now is I'm a little outside of the window of being able to sell and not owe a bajillion million Monopoly money dollars.
We were like that too, you know, and we just love Rachel Witt. She's been a sponsor
Rachel's
of the show
fantastic.
Since day one. Rachel Witt with RE/MAX Edge. You know, we met her just at an open house. She was a stranger and I walked in and our personalities clicked immediately. If you're going to hire a real estate agent, you better like them because you are going to spend so much time with them and time in their car and, you know, so Rachel could not have been better. If you are considering buying, selling, or building a home, contact Rachel. Tell her I sent you. Be like, hey, you put up with the Manos. You can put up with anything.
No, so, she's great.
HomeSalesInSt.Charles.com is her website. The MLS is updated every single day on there. You can also call her at 636-720-3836. Again, please tell her you heard about it on The Kelly Mano Show.
Heads up! Heads up! Here's another one. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying
I tried to play a tough song for Kevin. Does that sound tough? Does
that
sound tough? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the studio, Kevin the Hitman Angle.
Yay!
And we've got Kim here too. Kim is like his silent sidekick today, but we're going to get her on the mic a little bit. So Kevin, welcome to the Kelly Mano Show.
Thanks, guys. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, so I started taking, you probably don't even know all of this because Kim does. So I started taking boxing lessons at the Hit Squad at your gym because I thought that the world would be a better place if I could punch things a few times a week. And when I started with Kim, the first thing I said was, I don't want to do a real fight. Like, ever. And the first thing she said was, oh my gosh, you totally don't have to. So I was surprised to see Kevin there, hands-on. You are a professional boxer, an MMA fighter. You've had over 30 professional boxing and kickboxing fights. Head coach at the Hit Squad. You've had fights on Fox Sports, ESPN, Showtime. Well, how did you get into this?
You know, after high school, you know, I went to community college.
Yeah.
Got hurt senior year of football, so you know, no football in college, and I needed something physical.
Where did you grow up?
South City, South St. Louis City.
Okay, so I know this sounds really stupid, but like, did you always like fighting? Like, in like when you got in fights in like junior high and high school, like, did you enjoy that?
You know, I was always a physical kid, but I'd never actually been in a street fight until after my first
Wow. Ring
fight. See, this is always foreign to Kelly, and I have the same conversation with her.
I don't even...
Because she grew up in a small town where fighting was their way of saying hello.
We fought every day. Like literally, there'd be, like, first round is after third hour in the Spanish hallway. And then, like, fifth hour, like people just... We fought our friends. It was just... It's just a small town thing.
Some people shake hands, dog sniff, butts, people from Granite fight.
Yeah, I mean, fighting is a way of life for some people, and it's become a way of life for me. But, you know, as I was younger, you know, I had no conflicts with anybody, and it was, you know, everything was all good until I got into the sport.
So, okay, now you're going to have to help me because I don't know a lot about this. Is that when you go to a fight, like a professional fight, what is the difference between a kickboxing fight and a boxing fight? Or are they the same thing?
So, you know, there's primarily three types of fighting. Mm-hmm. So you have boxing, which you're just using your fists. So you have on, you know, professional boxing will be like 10-ounce gloves.
Okay.
And you're only able to punch the head and above the waist, the body.
Do you, like, wrestle a little bit in boxing, or is it just punching?
No wrestling and boxing, only punching.
Okay, so then I assume kickboxing just incorporates some kicks.
So kickboxing is going to be the same as boxing, except you're able to kick the legs, body, and head. And there's different subtypes of kickboxing where there's some, you know, we call it a clinch, mm-hmm. where you grab each other and you're able to knee...
where it looks like you're hugging.
Looks like you're hugging. Well,
why are they hugging?
And then kickboxing, you're also wearing the bigger gloves, the 10-ounce gloves.
Okay.
And then the third variety is the mixed martial arts, which is what you see
which
in the
UFC. Which is batshit crazy. Like, at what point were you like, okay, we're just going to street fight in a cage?
Well, and that's kind of where it came from. It kind of came from a no-rule set, and then to get mixed martial arts regulated across the country, they had to make a uniform set of rules.
So you didn't kill each other.
Exactly.
Like, literally.
Literally, yeah. Like, there was not a whole lot of... There was no rules. There was no weight classes when it first started, MMA. And now there's a uniform set of rules across the country, and then even, you know, across... You know, in Europe and other countries, there's...
Well, I said earlier, I'm fascinated by people who get punched in the face for a living, whether it's a boxer or a hockey player or whatnot. What does your family think about your fighting? Like, what about, like, parents, mom, wife, kids? Like, how do they feel, like, when you go to a fight?
So, my mom has probably, you know, I had probably, I think I had 80 amateur fights, and between all the different things, I've had like 80 professional fights. She's been about 5 fights.
Yeah,
I don't blame her.
She doesn't love it. My wife, I was already fighting professionally when we met,
so she knew what
she was
doing.
Yeah, she's used to it. It's reasonably normal for her. And then my family, the rest of them, you know, besides mom, loves it.
Right.
So they all come and cheer you on.
Most every fight, you know. Obviously, I've fought in, you know, Australia and Canada, and
so they can't. It's hard to go there.
Some of the traveling fights they haven't been able to make, but most local fights, the majority of them, you know, barring something.
You know why moms don't come? Because they would climb that fence. Yeah. Like, if their son is I would scale that sucker like Spider-Man to pull somebody off a Rocky.
There's a couple of YouTube videos of moms jumping in the ring, swinging their shoes at the opponent.
I've seen that in boxing a few times. It's crazy.
I believe it. So do you have a certain, like, weight class that you fight at?
Yeah, so, you know, now everything's going to have a weight class. MMA has their set of weight classes. Mm-hmm. So my weight class for MMA was welterweight, which is 170 pounds. And under.
Do you maintain that easily, or do you do crazy stuff?
So I walk around about 195 pounds, and then I'll diet to 180, and then I'll cut, which cutting weight is basically sweating out water weight, down to 170.
How long does it take you to get down to a fighting weight?
So I usually do about, the best scenario, I'll start about 6 weeks with my diet.
Yeah.
And I'll trim down and diet down to that 180. I'll be 180 probably the week before the fight.
I was going to say, like, how far in advance do you need to get down to your weight so that you can get used to the new weight and not? Because I got to imagine when you drop 20 pounds, you feel it.
Yeah, I mean, I do it slowly and gradually, but the actual being 170, I'll be 170 for 4 hours on the day of weigh-in, and that's it.
Yeah. Now, and once you weigh in, Will they weigh you in again right before the fight? Or, like, once you weigh in at 170, like, the day before, if the next day you show up and you're 173, will they let you fight? Or is that...
Yeah, so once you weigh in, as of right now, once you weigh in, you can rehydrate up to any weight you want. I usually go from 170 to about 182 or 183.
This, is that in a 24-hour period?
24 hours, yeah.
Woo!
They've been throwing around a new set of rules because some people have been injured,
sure,
cutting too much weight. So yeah, kind of a rule where the week before the fight, you have to weigh in a certain percentage range, and then by the night of the fight, you can only be over your weight by a certain... They're throwing that around for fighter safety. So I don't think they've thrown that in to effect as of yet.
My friend Carmela is a power lifter, and she has to cut weight. And I will never forget, like, she can do it in, like, 9 days. I mean, she doesn't have to cut quite as much. But when I asked her how she did it, she's like, well, you know, I didn't eat for 24 hours. Oh. And then I drove from here to, Chicago, wherever the fight was, in sweat clothes with my heater on and spitting into a cup for 5 hours.
Yeah, it can be rough. You know, they've developed we do like a water cutting system where you it's called water loading. So the week of the fight, you're drinking so much water and so much water, and you slowly cut it down. Then you have the water in your body to sweat out. There's different methods, but it's not fun. It's cutting the weight is harder,
than the physical side of it.
Less pleasurable than the actual fight. I'd rather get hit than cut weight.
I remember being in high school, the first time I ever saw someone do it, we were in the middle of basketball practice, which when I went to high school, basketball was at the same time as wrestling. And we would always see the wrestlers, like, the day before, like the week leading up to a big meet, running around in what looked like trash bag suits.
Yes.
Just running the bleachers. And I'm like, what are you doing to yourselves?
Yeah, it's rough, and the sauna suits or the trash bags, you know, just keeps the heat in and makes you sweat. And
what is the next higher weight class for you?
So for MMA, the next one up would be 185 pounds.
So why not just fight there and then eat cheeseburgers?
Because those guys walk around about 220.
Oh God! And so like everybody said, does this.
Everybody does, and it's kind of that's the issue is that you can't just fight at your natural weight because somebody's always trying to get that advantage.
Sure.
You guys cutting down until they do like a same day weigh in, which they've thought about a same day weigh in also, make it a little more natural.
Right.
Weights, because it's all the same. You know, at 170, I'm fighting guys who walk around at 195, 200 pounds. If we were to fight at 185, and the same day weigh-ins, I'd be fighting the same guys.
You guys are making no sense. To me, it makes perfect sense that you all do a gentleman's agreement and be like, hey, let's not be miserable and let's all do this the same way.
Well, that's because you and I have the same philosophy when it comes to fitness, which is I kind of like fitness, but I also kind of like tacos.
And that would be, I would love to do a gentleman's agreement, but you got to remember, when you're getting in the upper echelons of the sports,
you're talking about
a lot of money. So, and that's, you know, it's what everything's about. Why would you want to get punched in the face if you weren't trying to make money at it?
And the difference in that money between winning the fight and losing the fight is usually fairly substantial.
Exactly. Unless you're Ronda Rousey.
Well, exactly.
Can I ask your opinion on her? Because I've always been, first of all, I don't even like fighting because I grew up seeing it all the time. I'm totally kind of turned off by it. But then my little Lucy started liking Ronda Rousey. And so we got her last fight and paid like $90 to watch her fight for 3 seconds. What has happened to her?
Well, I mean, as far as her, Ronda Rousey was the best thing that ever happened to women's MMA. Her popularity, her looks. You know, she was awesome at the beginning. What happened, in my opinion, to her was the sport caught up with her. So she was a superior athlete when she first got in there. Now she's fighting athletes just as athletic as her, as strong as her, but with more well-rounded skill sets.
Right.
And that's why she's not successful anymore. But anybody that says Ronda Rousey didn't make women's MMA what it is incorrect. Women's MMA. She made anybody care about women's MMA. I mean, it's the only reason women are making money now.
Yep.
Right.
Because of Ronda Rousey.
They all owe her. I mean, I feel so bad for her, just the way that she went out in her last two fights.
Well,
you know,
I think she kind of got exposed a little bit for, you know, Ronda Rousey was a grappler of a fighter.
A wrestler.
And the last two fights she fought people who would stand and box. And
that's kind of what I read,
too. If you kept her at arm's length and punched her in the face, the last two people who fought her showed, if you don't let her get inside, you can beat her.
Well, she almost looked like she'd never been punched in the face that hard before.
Well, and she, Amanda Nunes is no joke. Amanda Nunes can fight. And again, that, you know, what you guys are saying is just the exact same thing I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's not well-rounded enough
that
to compete with athletes of her same athletic ability.
Yeah. I mean, and what he, like, and I agree, and I didn't even think about it until you said it, was it was such a fringe of UFC and mm-hmm. MMA before her. That once she gave it credibility, it opened the door for all these other fighters to go, oh, I'll join in too. And 100%. Once you open those floodgates and you allow the competition in, it's easy to be the big fish in a small pond. But once right. the other big fish come in, you got to hold your own.
What is what's the most pain you've ever felt in the ring in a professional fight?
I don't really know. I've had my forehead split open where I got like 40 stitches in it. I tore my bicep completely off in a fight.
Oh, that's got to be the worst one.
It really wasn't that bad. The surgery to fix it was worse than actually. I fought three more rounds with it torn.
Is it?
Good God.
Is it adrenaline that makes you not really feel that until afterwards?
Yeah, you have a lot of adrenaline. So I'm going to tell you what, honestly, the most pain I've ever endured in the ring is I have an issue with one of my eyes that I will occasionally scratch my cornea,
mm-hmm.
and it's so excruciatingly painful. I've had to stop fighting a couple times.
Wow!
Because I can't keep my eyes open to see the punches coming at me.
That would be
scratching, problematic. The scratching the cornea doesn't sound like a lot, but it's
bicep
a, it's a
ripped
very
off the
painful.
Bone, paper cut by the eyeball.
The paper cut by the eyeball is so painful.
Gosh, what is, okay, so you have the adrenaline in the ring. What is the next 24 to 48 hours like for you after a fight? Can you hardly move?
It just depends on how difficult the fight was.
It depends on if you won or not.
Yeah, well, not even that. I mean, you know, it just depends on the fight. You know, some fights are quick wins. Some fights are long fights that aren't mm-hmm. as grueling. I boxed a guy down in Texas and actually stayed at my friend's house down there, and I had to sleep with a towel on my chest because my nose wouldn't stop bleeding
night.
You know what I mean? I don't want to ruin his guest bed. You know, but it's not usually that bad. It just depends on the fight.
Well, you know, I was at class the other night, and then when we were coming home with my daughter Lucy, who is like the girliest thing ever and has just fallen in love with this boxing class. And I said, well, you know, that guy is a real boxer. Like, you can Google him. And so then it was all night long. She was Googling you and showing me stuff. If somebody who had just met you or is listening and doesn't know a lot about boxing or your career, if there was one fight of yours that they could Google and you would say, I'm really proud of this one, which one would it be?
You know, probably my second to last MMA fight was myself fighting a guy named Kyle Kurtz.
And we'll put that up at kellymano.com. Stephanie will embed it right there on the...
Kyle's a good, tough fighter. Mm-hmm. We had a real close first round, and I ended up knocking him out pretty good in the second round.
I think that's one of the ones Lucy... because he couldn't get up for a while, right?
Yeah, correct.
Do you feel kind of bad or no?
I helped him out of the ring.
You did?
It's not... Have you ever fought someone that above and beyond the sport, you just genuinely didn't like the person and had took pleasure in, I'm going to punch your face in?
And
you don't need to name names.
There's been a few. So, you know, like I said, amateur and professional, I've probably had over 160 right. fights. I mean, under 10 guys that I didn't mm-hmm. care for, that I really didn't like. But, you know, for the most part, it's a sport.
Sure.
You know, and now it's a professional, it's a business. You go fight, you have a beer afterwards, and...
Yeah, I mean...
I think a lot of people don't understand that, like, you see all the press conferences for MMA and all that, and there's so much trash talking
mm-hmm.
that, like, some of it may genuinely be, like, you know, I don't like you, don't like me, but I gotta imagine 90% of it is, we have a fight to promote.
But 100%. I mean, it just depends on the guy. Some guys are just mean, and some guys don't like each other. Some guys their way of preparing for a fight is by talking trash.
Right.
You know, some guys talk trash in the ring. This is how they fight. Some of it is to promote the fight. It just depends on the guys. And
I would not want to waste my breath. I would need every breath I had.
Who was the guy? And I can see it in the, I can see it in my brain when I close my eyes. There was an MMA fighter a few years ago who was notorious for trying to do like the Sugar Ray Leonard with dudes, where like he would dare you to punch him, like he'd stick his chin out.
Anderson Silva,
and he got someone knocked out, finally got him, doing it, yeah, and knocked him the F out. And I stood up and clapped because like I've been waiting for that for 2 years,
yeah,
for someone to finally connect.
It was Anderson Silva, and Chris Weidman's the one who called.
Nice.
Yes,
nice. Now, so I, the only other boxer friend I've had is this guy named Robbie Peden. He's from Australia, but I remember hanging out with him, and we would like, we were like on the landing somewhere. This was, you know, back in the day, and like somebody kind of tried to like pick a fight with him, and I was so surprised that he just walked out. He's like, I don't fight unless I get paid.
Yeah.
And so have you ever just been a guy at a bar and had somebody pick a fight with you having no idea who you are?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's happened to me several times, and you know, I'm actually friends with one of the, you know, most famous UFC fighters, Dan Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at a, his wife is from St. Louis, and we were all hanging out, and a guy tried to pick a fight with him.
Oh, didn't know who he was. Didn't know who he was.
Didn't know who he was. Tried to pick a fight with him, and Dan's like, no.
And what did he, like, do you guys normally walk away from those?
Yeah.
You have to, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's, it's not, it's, we don't have anything to prove, and it's not worth.
That's, you don't have anything to prove. That's exactly it.
Of course, if someone puts us in a situation where we have to defend ourselves, we will.
That's different.
We're not.
Right.
Obviously afraid to defend ourselves.
But if it's just a drunk idiot in the bar who means nothing to you.
Yeah, there's no, it's just not a good scene for us, you know, because, I mean, especially, you know, somebody who's well known.
Yeah.
You know, a story comes out that they beat up a.
Then you look like the bad guy.
Exactly.
I equate it to the whole scenario when you and I talked about the midget who wanted to fight me in high school.
Hoss is 7 feet tall.
It is a lose-lose situation. If you fight the drunk guy and you lose, you're the MMA fighter who got beat up by a drunk
guy.
If you beat his ass, you're the MMA fighter who beat up a drunk guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no win in there for you.
No, there was a little person at his high school who tried to fight him for 6 months straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had to be like,
I got
fight
down
him
on
off.
My knees, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, look, dude.
Stop it.
This isn't going to happen because there's no win in this for me.
Okay, so one more question, and then I want to pass the microphone over to Kim and talk to her a little bit about the gym.
Sure.
So are you fighting? Like, when are you going to retire? Like, are you going to keep fighting? Like, do you have anything, like, coming up, or?
I mean, I am.
Are you towards the end of your glory years?
I am 100% towards the end of my career. I may fight again.
Mm-hmm.
I may not. I kind of retired once and then decided to come back. So right now I'm just kind of, you know, besides the gym, I also have a day job.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure. I'm not ruling it out, but I'm not looking for a fight the moment. I'm 37. I have a wife and three kids.
Yeah.
However, if the money's right.
Well, I mean, it could. I mean, I would assume I'll do one or two more.
Yeah.
I just don't know when.
How old are your kids?
6, 3, and 6 months.
So not old enough to start thinking about fighting, but is that something you kind of hope that they get into?
I want them to come to the gym and learn how to defend themselves and learn the sport. I don't care if they ever fight. If they choose to, that's fine. But
so if it's like, Dad, I want to be in ballet.
That's fine. But I want
Dad's
them to,
an MMA fighter.
But I want them to know how to defend themselves
while doing ballet.
You know,
it's like owning a gun. There's nothing wrong with learning how to defend yourselves or owning a gun.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to fight. It doesn't mean you have to shoot it.
Exactly.
It's just something in the back of your mind that you know. If you know how to defend yourself, it's a peace of mind. If you get into a situation, you
100%.
Can protect yourself.
Yeah, and I just want the kids to, you know.
And that's why my kids are in it. I mean, like, you know, I've got Rocky and Lucy in it, and they are just the sweetest, nicest kids. They would never hurt a fly, but they love it. And so I'm going to ask, so Kevin, thank you for coming in.
No problem.
We are going to put the link to your fight with, is it Kyle Kurtz?
Yep.
And if you just Google Kevin the Hitman Angle, there's all kinds of really fun stuff on there. So pass the microphone over to Kim because, you know, She the boss. She knows all the important stuff. So Kim, are you the manager of the gym? Is that how it works?
My husband and I are actually Kevin's partners.
Come a little closer to that mic. They're okay. Third date close.
Okay. My husband and I are actually co-owners with Kevin.
With Kevin. Yes. So you guys kind of do the paperwork side of it, maybe. Yes. And he's like the pretty face.
I manage the desk. Kevin handles
Kevin's the
people.
Pretty face. Yeah. And so I'm not going to lie. When I first walked into your gym as a complete stranger, I was kind of intimidated. I was like so scared to go. I didn't have any friends with me that even though I like tried to recruit people, I think they were just as scared as I was. But I was the thing that I liked the most about the HIIT Squad is that you see people of all walks of life in there.
Yes.
So you've got me, you know, middle-aged, you know, chubby minivan driving mom doing, you know, the boxing class. And then like next to me are like people really sparring like in the ring, which for me is distracting because I'm trying to do my class and I'm like, oh, that was a good one, like, over my shoulder. So tell us about the gym and the people that come in.
Well, we have a great group of people there. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we have people anywhere from that just started to advanced. And like you said, we now have 6 or 7 fighters in our gym.
That's crazy.
So several of them are police officers or firefighters that do guns and hoses. Others are a couple of us started. We went last year to Florida in July and fought in the IKF World Tournament.
Yeah, she did a fight.
Oh, nice.
She did a real fight.
That's awesome.
I did it for the experience. I don't think I'll ever do it again. But,
just have to check off the bucket list.
Right, exactly.
I think I would spar like for practice one day.
You should.
If it was somebody I trusted, you know, like, you know. Yeah, like, well, I'd be like, okay, hit me in the face at like a level 2. And let me see what that feels like. Okay, now do a 3. Now, and then we have an agreement. Don't punch harder than like a 7. That's how
our general rule, like our experienced people that are going to spar with you, they're not going to hit you any harder than you hit them.
Okay.
So if you go in there and lightly tap them, they're going to lightly tap you back.
The problem is I have the reach of like a T-Rex. Like, I'm not working with a whole lot here. So, let's put it this way. At class, when he's like, everybody partner up, get with someone your own size, I found the 14-year-old girl. I was like, hey, nice. Angel. Which, she's like training to be a real MMA fighter.
Oh, nice.
And, oh my God, she was so patient with me because I know I wasn't holding those things right. And I know she also wasn't punching as hard as she could. So she's a sweetheart. And I'm going to keep finding her as my partner. Be like, please help me again. But yeah, so I love, it's family friendly. And you guys have a little daycare for like the 6 o'clock class.
Yeah, for our 6 o'clock class, Monday through Thursday, we offer free childcare.
Yep.
That's awesome.
So, and we've limited that to 5 and under. So, you know, if your kids are 5 and under and you want to come in and get a good workout in, we have a babysitter available.
Because if they're older than that, they can do the kids class because they're so, okay, the HIIT Squad is so brilliant. They do the adult classes at the same time as the kid classes.
Nice.
So literally like Rocky and Lucy are on one side of the gym, I'm on the other. And it's such fun. Like I call it with me and Lucy, like our like girls morning out, you know?
Yep.
And so we just go and do something that we don't normally do. But yeah, I love the HIIT Squad. And so I'm going to try to get some friends to come this week. So I do I usually do like the Monday night, Wednesday night, and then the Saturday morning class. And so I'm going to try to get some friends to come with me. Stephanie can't come. She's got some bone problems. But we will. Yeah, I'm excited. Hoss, you need to come fight.
I knew
you should come in. I knew it.
But yeah,
I've got wrist wraps.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, what's the difference between the poofy gloves and then the tape on the hands? Because I'm like the only one who uses the poofy gloves, I feel like, in the class. What's the difference?
No, everybody uses the bigger gloves.
Not in the Wednesday class. They all had their hands wrapped.
Oh, that's just extra support for your wrists. And like Kevin could explain that more, but that's a personal preference. Not everyone uses them, but a lot of people do. They use them to give their...
If you want a set, I have like 3 sets.
Oh, I had to get the kids pair. I'm like, you have a kids bin? Oh, here, these cute little pink ones will do.
I was just going to say, but they're pink.
Yeah, of course they're pink. So anyway, I absolutely, absolutely love the HIIT Squad. Website is hitsquadinofallon.com.
Hitsquadofallon.com.
Hitsquadofallon. And you guys have some great videos on there. That's what really made me make the jump and come in, was because I felt like the video you guys made really showed the gym. Like,
yeah, I do a lot of live feeds as well on Facebook. We're HIIT Squad O'Fallon on Facebook as well, so I do a lot of live and take pictures and different videos of the different classes and what's going on in the gym, so always check us out there as well.
When I am a little more confident in my skills, I will go live on Facebook, but not yet.
Okay.
Whenever I can kind of keep up with the 14-year-old, then I will consider it.
Goals. We all have goals.
We all have goals. So thank you guys so much for coming in today. Thank you, Haas and Stephanie.
Yeah.
As usual, Haas has got to go run out and record another podcast.
Indeed.
You're like a podcast whore.
Thank you for putting podcasts in front of that.
So we will be back sometime next week. We never really know. We just make it up as we go. If you want to email us, our email is heykelly@kellymano.com. What else do I usually say here? If you like the show, share the show.
That's one of them.
And we'll see you next week. Until then, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart assy. Lost anything for the boys.
For the love of God, Blues, please beat Colorado.
Shit. Otherwise, I'm going to have to eat a lot to drink tonight. All right, we'll see you next week, guys. Thanks for listening. She's the talk of the town. She's the best.
Jackie O, we loved her so. So did Mr. Brown. As far as we know, Norma Jean had a 7-year itch. Some like it hot to a fever pitch. Sandy, Danny, summer love. Ladies, divas, the moon above. That's all in the past. Legends built to last. But she's got something new. She's a power girl in a 90s world. She's a downtown swinging dude. Cause the lady is a bum. She's a vixen, not a tramp. She's a da 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 da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's the top of the town, she's the best. Yes. Scary, baby, ginger, posh. Sporty, yes, now that's all right. We're the Spice Girls, ready to go. Ladies and gents, can you please take your seats, and we hope that you enjoy.
Thank you very much.